Good morning. If you've been with us throughout January, thank you. Amazing, always. Now just to figure out where it came from. That's fine, we'll get there. If you've been with us throughout January, you may know that we've been working on a series called God Is, where we were discovering and discussing some key characteristics of God, particularly God the Father, that being light, love, and life. But today we're also going to move to the more mysterious, maybe, member of the Godhead, that being the Holy Spirit. And for me, I've been quite keen on this topic and series and idea, as it's been a pivotal point for me as I was growing in my faith and during my faith journey, of misunderstanding the person and work of the Holy Spirit and different things that meant for me as I journeyed along. It meant that I ended up missing moments of connection with God throughout really tough times in my life because I didn't quite understand who was with me and who was beside me through those tough moments and how the Spirit works and all that sort of thing. It also meant that I missed companionship through some of those moments where you want to share your joy with someone and those moments. The great thing about the Spirit is that He's around with you the entire time through your ups and downs, but He also works in a very different and distinct way from those we might be used to. So today I want to start a conversation that I pray is a lifelong conversation for each one of us of who is this Holy Spirit? Who is this comforter that's been given to us, this gift, the companion who is the same one or very like the same one as Jesus who is with us today in this very room. For some of you, you might be kind of not comfortable with the idea of the Spirit so much. You might not have really heard anyone speak about the Spirit and the Holy Spirit with you. And that's actually quite normal, potentially, in this day and age. You might even be kind of weirded out by this idea of the Spirit being with all of us at all individually, but also collectively. And there's kind of these weird ideas that are connected with Spirit that can be really hard to kind of grasp and deal with. And that's why we want to keep on with this series over a couple of weeks to unpack a lot of these bigger ideas and that sort of thing. So if any of that sounds true to you, I would encourage you to engage in this conversation as it will bring up new thoughts potentially, which is always beneficial. Whether you agree with them, disagree with them, if you're wrestling with new thoughts, it's always a good thing. At least that's what I've found anyway. So the uncertainty around the Spirit and the way He works has often meant that He's remained a mystery, particularly in comparison to the other members of the Godhead or the Trinity that were a little bit easier to conceptualize, the Father and the Son. And over time, this has meant that the Holy Spirit has become that forgotten member. So far for some communities as to even be taken out of that Trinity-type position of and being renamed the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible and being completely removed from that space. But for some more of us, it's more of a practical thing where we might not even say pray to the Spirit, even though He has a defined work and place in our prayer life and in our life as well. And in some ways, this makes sense, right? Because the Father is the one who calls us into relationship with Himself. So we know and somewhat understand the Father. We get His place. And Jesus is the one who saves us and redeems us into that relationship as well. And so we understand those two a lot more clearly. But it's important that we cultivate and understand who the Holy Spirit is and what exactly He does. So, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. goes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's also a personal being. He's distinct from the Son and the Father in all his works. We can see him have unique moments of work that is separated from what the Father and the Son are doing in those moments in time. As I often like saying, and I've pointed out already a couple of times in the last month, he was at creation. The Trinity was there. He redeems as well. He empowers and sanctifies us as believers. He has his own unique work that he shares with us and does through us. We may see Jesus as, and we hear Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. But we can also see that the Spirit can be God within us, walking and working through us. The New Testament speaks a lot about the Spirit, and we'll get into a lot more detail with that next week. And we'll have an opportunity to dive into some central truths shared in the New Testament. But today we're going to focus on the Old Testament and how it shows us who the Spirit is and what work he does in the Old Testament. And although the Old Testament doesn't share the level of focus the New Testament does on the work of the Spirit, we still do see a lot of the Spirit in the Old Testament if we know how to pay attention to it. And the first thing we need to know to kind of help us with that is the name or the wording used in the original language to see some ideas that are quite drawn out. And that word is ruach. And ruach, like many Hebrew words, means quite a few different things. And they're all kind of nuanced and distinct from each other, but also somewhat connected as an idea. And so ruach can mean the spirit, as in the spirit of God, but it can also refer to the human spirit as well. So it can be capital S, Holy Spirit, or lowercase s, spirit. But it also means breath and wind. So it's not just about the spirit, but it's breath and wind. And in that way, it's described in the New Testament as well, that the spirit is hard to fully understand or comprehend. It is like the wind. We don't know where it comes from, but we can see evidence of it working within us or around us. But more to that as well, it's a deeper level of wind and breath. It's talking about the power that you encounter when you encounter wind and breath from someone. And it's talking about this particular idea that I love with it, which is that it's the ability of some sort of motion to influence more motion, or action to influence more action. Like if the wind was to breeze through a tree, it would move the tree to action as well. It would stir the tree. And so all these things, like I said, are distinct from each other, but they're all found as well within the Spirit, all these different abilities and ideas. And that is part of his work. So, the Spirit works in a few key ways in the Old Testament. And the first way we can see this is in those first verses of Genesis that I am very fond of, where we see the Spirit, or Ruach, of God hovering over the formless abyss. However, there is another moment that I think brilliantly encapsulates this work of the Spirit, which I'll share with you, that way we can get some fresh examples as well. And it is also at the beginning of Genesis. It's in Genesis chapter 2, particularly in verse 7, and we have an account of God creating man. It says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the ruach, or breath of life. And the man became a living being." In the first two chapters of Genesis, we see two distinct and separate examples of the Holy Spirit bringing life as a life force, as a creative force. The Spirit, in its nature, by its very nature, is creative and is an active force within creation and all of life. Anytime we see the work of the Spirit, is it a life giving acts, even if you move into other moments of the Spirit where the Spirit delivers judgment, it's still life-giving. It brings life to at least the others around it. It moves people and stirs people to come to back to the right path of action. And the Spirit is about bringing life to others. The other way we see the Spirit's work, particularly within the Old Testament, is as charismatic or as an anointing. We see the Spirit descend on select people to empower them to work the will of God with action. We see this with Samson as he's filled with the Spirit and does mighty deeds. We see it with Gideon, who is quite easy to say that before he's filled with the Spirit, he's quite cowardly and hides his actions at night. But when he is filled with the Spirit, he gathers a wide range of people, then dismisses them to fight armies with only 300 people. He becomes courageous. We see it with Saul, where he becomes united in his mind, and as soon as the Spirit leaves him, he becomes divided again and jealous. We see it with King David as through many, many things. We see that the Spirit descends on people and anoints them and enacts God's will through them. If we take the example of Gideon a little bit further, the story of Gideon starts with an overview of how the Israelites have failed to uphold their end of the covenant. And as such, they find themselves oppressed and calling out to God. Then the Spirit fills Gideon, and he calls together armies and armies of people. And with the empowerment of the Spirit, the people of Israel overcome their enemies. Gideon then renews them on this path of relationship and covenant relationship with God, even going so far to be asked to be the king of Israel, and he declines. He says, no, that is God's place. So this charismatic work moves to people to the renewal of people. The Spirit dwells in people and renews them is a common theme found throughout the Old Testament. Let me grab... No, that's all right. So what can we take away? What is the question that we often forget to ask in these moments about the charismatic and these moments where we see the Holy Spirit working is why is the Holy Spirit working in this way? And although I don't usually encourage people to look at the so-called heroes of the Bible and take on, put themselves in that space, we can still take away from the heroes of the Bible or the people that their Spirit acts within the principles of how God wants us to live, right? Particularly when the Spirit is causing action, we can see that that is how people are living closer to God. So what is the principles of life? I think there's two key ones that we can take away today. The first is that people and the heroes used are flawed. They are incredibly flawed. Even the examples I've given today of Gideon, like I said, he's already sure that he's doing the work of God when he hides his actions, when he doesn't have courage. It is only after he gains the Spirit that he is courageous. We see it with Saul, who tries to take back his promise to David not to harm him. We see it with David, who's not only filled with the Spirit, but called a man after God's own heart, who ends up falling to his own selfish desire, killing someone to hide it, and then still he ends up filled with Spirit again and connecting with God. We see that they are flawed people. Which means when we go on this argument of, well, God can't work through me, I am too deeply flawed, I promise you can find someone in the Bible who is more flawed than you and been used by God still. It is okay to be flawed. God is aware of it, and he will still fill you with the Spirit and move you. But the other principle, which is how we should live, or how we should aim to live anyway, is that in all these examples, particularly if we look at Gideon and the wider story that Gideon comes from of the book of Judges, we see that every single one of the judges or people filled with the Spirit is used to bring renewal not to themselves, but to everyone around them, to Israel. And that is what we're called to do as well. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of life and renewal, but it is the Spirit of life and renewal for others. His passion and power is in renewing those around you through your actions. And so, that's a hard call, right? That is a hard thing to live up to. But it's not our power doing it. And so we are called to live within the Spirit, to overflow from the Spirit and renew others. So, as you probably all know, I like giving a challenge every week that we speak. But this one's a pretty simple one. We're going to build our way through this series up in terms of challenges. But all I simply want you to do for this week until I see you again is pray every morning. And it's a simple prayer, but I want you to pray when you wake up that your eyes would be open to who the Spirit is and to what He is doing in you today. And that's it. If you do it every week, I promise that you'll start seeing new things in your life. Even if you feel like you're well connected to God and the Spirit, He will show you new and wonderful ways that He's working within you each and every day. And like I said, you're called to live in that space and overflow from that space. And so once you can see yourself connected and working with the Spirit, you'll be able to flow out of there. And once we're overflowing out of that space, we overflow into our relationships, our families. We will renew our relationships and our families, give them new life and new hope in whatever they're facing, even if it's some of the toughest things that they could. And when our families are renewed, we can overflow from that space into our community and see a renewal in what I would say is probably one of the most desperate times we've lived through at the moment. Even though COVID is over, a lot of the effects are still lingering and anxious. And more than ever, we need as a community that renewal of spirit. So let us pray and we'll wrap up today. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your Spirit. We ask that it would enter into our lives so that we may see you better. Holy Spirit, we ask that you join us today, that you walk with us, that you open our eyes to be able to see that you've been walking with us for a long time already. We ask that you open our eyes to what you do within us, so that we may be better ambassadors of your ministry of reconciliation. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your sacrifice, and that without your sacrifice, you would not have sent the Spirit to be our comforter, to be our confidant. We ask that you bless us this week in our walk with you, drawing us closer to your purpose and your life for us. In Jesus' name, amen.